This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Grace Curley Show. We have a lot to discuss. Gas prices continue to soar to historic highs across the country. As I've always said before, do not say that Joe Biden isn't a record breaker, because every day he's breaking different records. I had given you a little bit of information about a feel-good story, and I do want to finish up on this, because I don't think we can ever get too much good news. 200,000 Seattle parking tickets to be voided and refunded due to bureaucratic breakdown. You love to see it, don't you? The city of Seattle announced Wednesday that it is voiding and refunding over 200,000 parking tickets because officers did not have the legal authority to write them. Approximately 100,000 unpaid tickets have been canceled, and another 100,000 paid tickets will be refunded, costing the city between $4.5 million and $5 million. The error was a result of an oversight in legal authority, as parking enforcement officers were moved from the umbrella of the Seattle Police Department to the Seattle Department of Transportation. I love this, Jared. As someone who has had her fair share of parking tickets in her life, if I got a letter saying, hey, by the way, that was taken care of, you're all good, I'd be so happy. But I'm never part of those. You know, whenever there's this big, like, sweeping thing, I'm never included. And I'm not here to sing the blues. Like, you don't need to play the violin for me or anything like that. But it just doesn't seem fair.
Those were cars with rich Corinthian leather.
Yes.
That's why they got the specific Corinthian bypass.
In case you didn't see this, the Biden Department of Education is canceling $5.8 billion in debt for former students of Corinthian colleges. People on Twitter were just as confused as me. But according to this,
even rich Corinthian leather.
Corinthian was one of the country's largest for-profit college companies with more than 110,000 students at 105 campuses in 25 states. However, the company folded in 2015 after widespread findings of fraud, and it caused the Department of Education to begin withholding loan funds. So some people are happy about this. And this is just another move by the Biden administration. They're trying their best to get back on the good side of their base. Whether or not it's going to work, I do not know.
Yeah, I found a 2015 article from The Intercept about the Corinthian colleges secretly funding DC think tanks and dark money election efforts.
Oh, no.
So, yes, that was when a lot of these problems started. So it's looking more like they are giving student loan financial forgiveness to more parasites who will take your money in government.
Now, one other thing I wanted to talk about here before we play you some sound, and if anyone has any thoughts on this, please weigh in. Yesterday, right when the show broke, speaking of unfair, the news came out that Amber Heard was charged with defaming Johnny Depp. The verdict was guilty.
Captain Jack, what? Johnny Depp, David Jones, Giant Squid.
And they read off a lot of these charges, and they said, yes, yes, yes. And also, she won one of her accounts as well. So I think she got $2 million in her winnings, and he got like $13 million and ends up being $10 million or something. But basically, he won. I mean, if you had to pick a winner here, it was Johnny Depp. He's going to get a lot more money. According to her lawyer, she can't really pay this anyway. But I think for him, it was more of a reputational thing. It was the principle of the matter, as they say. And so I wrote about this yesterday for Spectator. I just wanted to give you guys a quick summary of my thoughts on it. And I think that in general, there were a lot of losers in this trial, myself included. I think Depp was a loser in this trial. Amber Heard was a loser. They both seem They both seem like extreme narcissists. They both treated each other terribly. You know who else is a loser in this? The sacrament of marriage. Made a mockery of marriage. They're secretly recording each other.
You're a loser.
Talking about revenge poop. That's the last time I'm going to say that on the show. I just had to get it in one more time. And also, they're never going to have any self-reflection where they say, I treated my spouse horribly. Like, I need to look inward. That's not going to happen because they're celebrities. And I think that celebrities really are a degree of narcissism that they cannot ever issue mea culpas. They're never going to go that deep. Another loser in this story is the Washington Post. It begs the question. They ran this piece from Amber Heard, and it was run until 2018. She didn't specifically name Depp, but she alluded to him. She said, 2 years ago, you know, I became the voice for domestic abuse, or, you know, she used a different phrasing. But 2 years prior, she had filed for divorce from Depp and accused him of domestic abuse. So it was obvious that this op-ed was aimed at Johnny Depp, which is what kind of got the ball rolling on this. The Washington Post does not care. Their goal is always clicks. It's not, you know, they say democracy dies in darkness, but all they really care about is internet traffic. And in that sense, mission accomplished. My question is, you know, when it came to other retractions they've had in the past, whether it be for the Steele dossier or any of these things, are they going to give themselves Pulitzer Prizes for running this Amber Heard piece? Which was, I think it's fair to say, it was debunked by the jury. It wasn't enough evidence. It wasn't convincing enough for the jury. It was convincing enough for the keyboard warriors at the Washington Post. Does that surprise anyone? And lastly, as we're going through the list of losers here, us.
You're a loser.
We are the losers. Because as much as I would love to tell you I didn't watch a minute of this, I did. I knew enough, Jared. If I were at a dinner party and someone brought this up, I could hold my own. And I finally understand now why when I talk to people about reality TV and people smugly say, oh, I don't watch that. That's trash. That's garbage. That's, you know, chewing gum for the eyes. I always thought, oh, you're so condescending. You don't know what you're missing. But now, when I wouldn't know as much about this trial as other people, I would feel a little bit of that smugness. Like, oh, no, I don't have time to watch all that. But I get why people watched it. It's a train wreck. You cannot look away. And what people really wanted, and this is, again, you can find this at spectatorworld.com, but what people really want in this country when they watch something is they want a hero and they want a villain, or sometimes they want a hero or they want a victim. And the truth is that Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, like most people in this world, they're somewhere in between. There's no heroes in this story. It's just insanity.
They're two tall Jones called codependent enablers.
Yes, yes. And so that's just my take. Again, if you want more of this, you can go to spectatorworld.com. I think it came out pretty good, if I do say so myself. In other news, there's an interesting piece today about inflation. Restaurants add new fees to your check to counter inflation. I have not noticed this, but I think sometimes they sneak this in, so you might not be, unless you're really looking for it, you might not notice it. But I'm going to read you some of this so you guys can keep an eye out in case. Whether or not you're going to do anything about it, I don't know. The number of restaurants adding service fees increased by 36.4%. The fees are effective in part because unless people are paying close attention, many fail to notice them. So there's this one woman, Lizzie Stevens, and she was getting her wallet out to pay. She pulled out her phone to Google the temporary inflation fee she noticed she had been added to her check. I was just like, wow, now we're getting fees at a restaurant too? What, Lizzie, you didn't see this coming? Did you not have a crystal ball? Did you not have a magic wand? Are you not a mind reader?
We have an 18th Nobel laureate, economonom.
The charge was $2. She said it added to her overall annoyance about higher prices. Her landlord had just raised her rent by $150 in March. A single mom of two, she had just taken on a part-time gig to supplement her income. Have you noticed any of these, Jared? Like these small fees? Some of them are called temporary inflation fee, supply chain surcharge, wellness fee. See, if I'm running a restaurant, and I think they have legitimate reason to do this because everything's costing them more. Like, for example, my mom was at this restaurant. My mom loves prime rib. She was at this restaurant. And she saw they had prime rib on the menu. And she said, it was a Saturday. And she said, the prime rib, is the prime rib good here? And the waitress said, the prime rib is really good. On Saturdays, we do regular price. But on Wednesdays, we do a discount. And it's like $10 less or something. And she said, the restaurant's not making money on any of these prime ribs at this point. But, you know, people love it. So it is what it is. It's like just keeping your customers happy. But even when they were doing it full price, so if you came on a Wednesday, you get $10 off. But either way, they're not making a profit off that. There's certain, and in this piece, they talk about a restaurant in Boston where the woman said, there's only so much we can charge for a lobster roll before people just won't get it. Even if it means, listen, we have to charge it because this is the only way we make money off it. If you put it at a certain point, they're not going to do it. I also read that now with chicken wings, they're putting like market price on chicken wings because that's how out of control wing system has gone.
I did notice that at a restaurant I was at not long ago. Chicken wings were market price. Yes. I haven't personally gotten a check where there was any type of inflation surcharge or anything like that. But I've seen online that it's happened to people.
The average price of supplies for a restaurant operator increased by 17.5% since last year. By comparison, consumer spending at restaurants rose 5% during that time. The increase in surcharges is a way for businesses to recoup at least some of those costs. Customers often seem to be more willing to accept the surcharges than outright price increases. One restaurant operator recently tried raising the price of a signature sandwich, which resulted in a 6% decline in sales of that particular item. So what they're saying is it's almost like a shrinkflation thing where you just try to figure out what people are going to notice more. Like if the price of your Oreo stays the same, but there's a few less Oreos in the package, you might be less upset.
Yeah, I noticed that. I got a particular potato chip brand, and I opened up the container, and the chips were noticeably smaller than they had been in the past.
How and what was your reaction to that?
I was like, there's shrinkflation at work for you.
I feel like I'm your therapist right now. How did that make you feel? Did you say thank you, Brandon?
I did say thank you, Brandon.
Did you go into Howie's office and say, Howie, I have a thank you, Brandon submission for the day? 844-500-4242. Well, this administration they're not apologizing. They feel like they had no control over this, and we'll get to that. But Americans are getting crushed. They're getting crushed by gas prices. They're getting crushed by inflation. They're feeling it everywhere they go. And like that last caller said in the last hour, people are talking about this. I notice it when I'm at the register. They talk to the cashiers about it. And the cashiers just kind of shrug and say, hey, it's not our fault. You know, we don't make the prices here. We don't make the rules. 844-500-4242. We'll come back to this. We'll take your calls. We'll play a lot of sound when we return. Also, Elon Musk is not giving up on his fight to get people to return to the office. He sent a follow-up email. He circled back. And the workers at Tesla are not happy about that. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
By the way, we have an update from Secretary Jennifer Granholm, Secretary of Energy. At first, they were really leading us with optimism. They were saying, listen, everything's going to go back to normal. It's transitory. Inflation's only here for a while. Gas prices are going to go down. We're releasing the oil reserves. And they're going down a couple cents right now. And no one's even giving us a round of applause for it. Well, now they've tried a new tactic. And that is to lower our expectations so we don't get any illusions of grandeur. This is Jennifer Granholm.
The Department of Energy has an Energy Information Administration, which is an objective entity that does analysis projecting the prices of gasoline. They say that things might stabilize by the end of this year, but that the price of gas is likely to remain above $4 a gallon.
Everyone's changing their tunes all of a sudden. Angie, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Angie.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have to tell you, I am really very, very disgusted I never voted for Biden. I never would. But, I mean, he's sick, and Harris stinks. So it's like I'm sure they're eating very, very well. I am diabetic, and I can't get the foods I need because I went to try to get ground meat and some chicken. I couldn't get the chicken. The ground meat was unbelievable, and I don't like it. All of my family, the men, have all served in the Marines. And here I am now that I cannot even get the food I need. It's disgusting, and especially the formula for the babies, that's unforgivable. And the ones coming in from the border, I hope they all go and live in Joe Biden's neighborhood. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Angie. Yeah, it is interesting that the shortage of so many things. Yesterday, I was talking about the shortage of popcorn. But yeah, even when you just go to
Corn
the grocery
Pop
stores,
was a bad dude.
You see a real shortage of supplies, of food. And for a long time, Joe Biden told us this is just B-roll. This is just news companies and the red meat right wingers like myself spreading disinformation. Where's Nina Jankowicz? I keep focusing on the B-roll of the empty shelves, of empty shelves, Biden. You know, he's an empty suit. He's got empty shelves and he's got an empty head. And it's true. It's true. Everywhere you go, you're seeing this. But we were told over and over and over again, it's not happening. It's not happening. And then when they acknowledge it was happening, it wasn't their fault. And now they're acknowledging it's going to go on for a little bit longer. And it's just all, it's all so predictable, if nothing else. And what's really scary is when you look at the dynamic between, let's say, Brian Deese and Karine Jean-Pierre and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, there's no communication. Like everyone, it's not even that they're lying to us. I wouldn't even mind that so much at this point. But can you all stick to one lie? Can we get on board with one lie? By the way, before we go to the next segment, I wanted to give you all an update on my president, the person I thought was going to be sitting in the White House right now. I thought his vice president would be Andrew Cuomo. I thought the sky was the limit for this guy. And today I found out that my friend, my hero, Michael Avenatti, has been sentenced to how many years, Jared?
4 years in prison for...
One term. That's a one term.
One term. Yep. He's actually still in prison, I think, for Nike, but he got 4 years for... perpetrating fraud upon Stormy Daniels.
Yeah. What a day for justice. You think that's enough time for Michael Avenatti?
I don't know what the sentencing guidelines are, but no, I don't think it is enough time.
But no, if I just had to say a quick answer, I'd say no. When we come back, Matt Walsh has this new movie out, and it's all about gender identity, and it's all about, it's basically like Libs of TikTok, but turned into a movie. And there's some cuts that are coming out of this that are really, really funny. I mean, it's amazing how much he's triggering liberals by asking the most basic questions. And he was the original person who said, all you have to do to destroy this ideology is ask, what is a woman? And right there, the house of cards will fall. Well, it turns out that he was right, because he's interviewing people who I'm sure have PhDs and degrees and all of these gender studies. And they get very, very flustered by these simple questions. We'll play some of that sound for you. We'll continue to take your calls. And we're also going to play a little bit of sound from MSNBC, maybe do some journalism in the news. Don't go anywhere. We've got one more segment left before we bring on Howie. It's The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
There are big questions about whether or not, if they had understood just how big of a problem this was going to be, why they didn't start talking about it last fall and start coming up with a plan B and a plan C so these desperate parents who are struggling to get formula for their children who need specialized formulas aren't in the position that they're in now, driving hours to go and get it, searching at these stores. And so that's a big question, just not about the larger whole of government approach that the White House says they've been taking, but why the president himself didn't learn of this problem sooner.
Yeah, I don't know if there's much more that could undermine faith in government than its inability to deal with people being able to feed their children in a way that the government clearly should have seen coming. They should have seen this coming, Caitlin.
Wait, I have a couple of things. That was CNN's Caitlin Collins. Two things. One, we're very big on this whole of government approach, and I want to play Brian Deese's comments on this because this is a new tagline. And two, why is she being so negative? Did she not hear about the 3.7 bottles that Joe is getting from the cargo ships of baby formula? Do I have to be the one to tell Caitlin that? That's big news here. We don't even get one positive headline. All we get is grief. All right, so this is Brian Deese talking to Jake Tapper in what was a terrible interview. You know how terrible it was? It ended with a camera falling over. And at first I thought, sometimes it happens where the person will go, oh, I'm sorry, I can't hear you anymore. I'm sorry, you're breaking up. I used to do that on the phone. You know, you put a little candy wrapper and you start going, oh no, the connection's really bad. But usually on TV, it's like they'll say, oh, they can't hear the feed. In this case, the entire camera actually toppled over after the interview. And I don't think Brian Deese pushed it, although I wouldn't put it past him. But this was his response about this whole of government approach, which basically means nothing to me. I mean, whole of government. If this is what the whole of government does as far as the baby formula shortage goes, do us a favor and next time don't do anything, because it couldn't be worse than this. Cut 15.
I guess I still just don't fully understand why you didn't tell the president until April. If the problem was reported to the FDA last fall, the FDA didn't check it out until I think December, and then they shut down the factory in February. The president, the only one who can invoke the Defense Production Act to force companies to produce this incredibly direly needed infant formula, he's not told until April. Karine Jean-Pierre, your press secretary, just said this has been a whole of government approach. That doesn't include the president?
The FDA took the appropriate measures to shut down the facility in February. And when that happened, the FDA and the relevant officials from across the government were focused on the effort to try to increase production from other producers and also figure out how quickly they could get that facility back online.
All right, so no answer to that. Thank you very much, Brian Deese. And I want to play one more cut here. I would like to play Jared Bernstein. He's a White House advisor on CNN, and he's talking about inflation. And again, it goes along with the theme, how are we to know? No one could have predicted this. This is cut 28.
But do you look back now and say, you know what? We juiced the economy too much, and we underestimated the risk of overheating the economy and overheating prices.
You know, look, it's easy to look back on what you said a year ago and, you know, find flaws, and I could probably do that. I actually thought what I said is something I would continue to stick with.
Oof. So you're just going to keep on digging. That's what that means. Keep on digging.
It's bad enough they are intentionally destroying this country, but they're not even doing it well. Like, when Obama wanted to destroy the country, it was on point.
He was doing
it was calculated. It was surgical. It was bang, bang, bang. They knew what they were doing. These guys can't even get that right.
He was doing it with aplomb, you might say. Yeah, and I do love this whole, you know, I guess hindsight's 20/20. When Trump would do things right and things would go well, they would still criticize it and say, you know, this was wrong with it. Even if things ended up being great, even when the economy was doing so well, a way we had never seen it do that well before, they still had issues. And now that everything's gone to bleep, they're going, well, you know, you could sit around and armchair quarterback this, but, you know, how could we really have known? Well, you did have a lot of people telling you about it, you know? There were a lot of people giving you the heads up. I want to switch here. It all goes along with the same thing. But Jared, I just got this. I think what we're seeing is that these outlets are starting to figure out that the palace intrigue pieces are playing well. The Washington Post, was it the Washington Post? No, NBC News had a story about the Biden White House being adrift. And there was another story, too, that I read this week that was along the same lines. Now CNN has a story, and please bear with me here because I'm reading this pretty much as I go because I just
I'm going to go a little
out.
Bit rogue here, so bear with me. Okay,
this is going to be like one of those parties where there's just no rules. The title of this piece, I think you're going to enjoy this. Beneath Biden's struggle to break through is a deeper dysfunction among White House aides. That I do believe. I'm going to fact check this piece. This is the first time I've ever fact checked something from CNN in a positive way. Fact check, mostly true. Biden and his inner circle get weekly readouts of the metrics on local newspaper coverage of his speeches.
How the PDB.
I wonder if they get Howie's, where Howie transcribes it. I wonder if they all sit around and read that. Like, oh, this nasty, credulous boomer rube. They get readouts of how long and for what he was covered on cable, but also videos that staff post on Twitter and other social media interactions. Those reports go on the piles with internal memos from pollsters saying Biden isn't breaking through in traditional news outlets and that the people who are engaged are mostly voters who have already made up their minds. Now, beneath this struggle, what lies beneath this struggle is a struggle to break through. It's a deeper dysfunction calcified among aides who largely started working together only through Zoom screens and still struggle. There's a lot of struggling here. Struggling to get in the rhythm. They're still finding it hard to grasp how much their political standing has changed over the last year. And there's a divide. This sounds like a Bruce Springsteen commercial.
And we will cross this divide.
There's a divide between most of the White House staff and the inner
circle. Between red and blue.
Between Klain and the White House aides. That's what it is. Whenever they say inner circle, that's code for Ron Klain. In case you're not privy to that information. Let's see here. So then it says, oh, and they take a little, CNN takes a little dig. It says, there's a divide between most of the White House staff and the inner circle who have been around Biden for longer than most of the rest of the staff have been alive. Oof, that hurts. In an email to CNN, a spokesperson said that is not the dynamic in the White House. I'm shocked that they denied these claims. At the center is a president still trying to calibrate himself.
It's an infamous fake.
He's still trying to calibrate himself into the office. He's calibrating. He's mystified. He's flummoxed. And now he's trying to calibrate. He's trying to calibrate while he's adrift. This is a recipe for disaster. Biden can't see a way to address that. Well, so he keeps getting all these problems. And as Corrine pointed out, let's play this cut here. Corrine pointed out that he has multiple issues. That's cut 22.
That perhaps the president wasn't aware of the work that was going on around the clock since February to address
Look,
the issue.
I mean, the president has multiple issues, crises at the moment. You know, when he walked into the administration, he talked about the multiple crises that we needed to deal with as a country. And so that's number one to remember.
Now, speaking of those multiple issues, this report says Biden can't see a way to address that while also being the looser, happier, more sympathetic, lovingly onion parody inspiring, aviator wearing, vanilla chip cone licking guy. An image that was the core of why he got elected in the first place. Doesn't that tell you a lot about the voters in this country?
Oh, this is going to sound wonky.
That the aviator wearing, vanilla chip cone licking guy is the core of what got him elected. Perhaps we need to have different priorities. Perhaps liking the president shouldn't be your number one thing. You know, like maybe switch it up next time. Worry about your 401k more than the mean tweets. Aides regularly talk about how little traction they're getting from one-off Biden appearances or events. And then whether on inflation, the baby formula shortage, or other problems, he's often left looking like he's in a reactive crouch on the issues that matter most to voters rather than setting the agenda. Sometimes clipped moments from those speeches that the White House puts on social media generate huge traffic, but at least as often, moments from the president appearing to be caught off guard go viral on their own. Aides and allies worry that the West Wing is making the same mistakes as they tout the White House's big pivot to inflation. I'm skipping around here just for time's sake. Which they know is a defining issue for the midterms, using all the methods Biden and his top advisors keep going back to. A Wall Street Journal op-ed, that worked out perfectly for us. That gave us a whole hour on this show. I say, keep the op-eds coming. I want one a day. And I want them on all different things, you know?
They're not going to let me read it all.
I don't want op-eds just on the economy. I want op-eds on stuff that Joe Biden can get real passionate about.
I want a double-dipped waffle cone with chocolate, vanilla chocolate chip.
I want an op-ed on what really happened to the dog they took away. That would be an op-ed I would read. A basic photo op Oval Office meeting with the Federal Reserve Chairman dispatching cabinet secretaries for short TV interviews. Biden himself, meanwhile, is staying barely visible, spending all of the week at the White House and his beach home in Delaware, removed from any interaction with anyone who's actually on edge about their bills going up. The president is a 79-year-old man who still thinks in terms of newspaper front pages and primetime TV programs, and B-roll, of course. Surrounded by not quite as senior aides and senior positions with the same late 1990s media diet, lifelong habits don't tend to fade when people get to their desks in the West Wing. In other words, he's too old. Oh, are they setting the stage here for he's too old? It's time to bring in the newbies? That could be. I gotta comb through this thing. This is beautiful. All of these pieces telling me things I already know. I mean, it really makes me laugh. Paul, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Paul.
Hi, Grace. Great show as always. Look, I got a bill last week for the oil delivery. I got a single family house, $1,030. I looked at it. This was the first ever. I called up the oil company. I said, how many oil deliveries is this? He said, one. So my oil bill went from 600 plus, which isn't low, to 1,000. My question, Grace, is how are the people, and I'm not complaining, I'm paying my bills so far. How in the name of God are people paying their bills, dealing with this, dealing with the influx of CRT into their schools, having the border overrun, and having an honest-to-God thief in the White House?
I know. And it's hard. I think about that, too. You know, I'm lucky where I can stay on top of these prices, but I know for a lot of people it's not that easy, especially people who have a lot of kids and they're struggling. And this White House, if you were to offer them your situation, if you were to say, you know, how do you expect me to pay for this? I think they'd offer you kind of a multiple choice, and they would let you decide. A, flip a switch, or click a switch is better. Click a switch. B, a magic wand. C, a crystal ball. Or D, a mind reader. Which one you choose is up to you. But on a serious note, I totally understand how you're feeling. I think a lot of people are feeling that way. And hopefully people will get out and vote come November. We often hear lately that real estate can literally sell itself right now. This thought has been very true for many properties in this frenzied economy. However, as inflation skyrockets and interest rates rise, the demand for properties may quickly lessen. Before that happens, what can you do as a property owner to be sure you maintain strong competition and interest for your real estate? Well, you can have an auction. For over 45 years and in every type of economy, JJ Manning consistently creates a competitive environment, strong bidding, no contingencies, and cash buyers who aren't waiting for lower interest rates. Auctions don't mean distress. Auctions mean competition. JJ Manning Auctioneers can show you what strong marketing and the competitive forum will do for your real estate. To learn more on how to get your residential, commercial, or land property sold quickly, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or visit jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Rising inflation and interest rates are coming, so don't wait. Call Charlie today at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com and get your property sold. We will be right back with Howie Carr. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley is your perfect lunch date.
Bread, $2 extra.
$2, but everyone in front of me got free bread.
You want bread?
Yes, please.
$3!
What?
Nothing for you!
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Today's Car Crossover is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future, so visit fairwayfinancial.net. Very exciting news. We have a minute here to announce our gas money winner. If you want to enter to win, just go to gracecurlyshow.com. Enter your email, and you could win $50 on my show or on Howie's show. So keep an eye out from an email from store at howiecarshow.com. The winner today is Ronald.
You won! You did it!
By the way, I had referenced this article earlier, but I didn't have the exact statistic. Biden economics strikes again. Quarter of Americans will delay retirement because of inflation. I know that a lot of callers have told me something similar, so there's that. Now, before we go, I had teased this earlier, and you all know that I'm always good for my teases. I don't forget these things. Matt Walsh has a movie out. I think it's with Daily Wire, and it's all about what is a woman, and he's going to different countries and different groups of people and asking them this question. But I think the funniest responses he got were from the woke liberal social justice warriors right here in the United States. Let's have this conversation. He's having this with an expert of some sort. I think that's a blanket term we can use. She's definitely an expert in her field, whatever that field may be. I shouldn't even say she. This birthing person, this human ex, is
birthing people,
an expert. And Matt Walsh is asking her what I would consider a fairly benign question, and yet it gets pretty heated. Let's take a listen.
Male gametes. That's what makes me male.
No, your sperm don't make you male.
Then what does?
It's a constellation.
In reality, in truth, okay?
Whose truth are we talking about?
The same truth that says we're sitting in this room right now, you and I.
No, you're not listening.
If I see a chicken laying eggs and I say that's a female chicken laying eggs, did I assign female, or am I just observing a physical reality that's happening in the world?
Does a chicken have gender identity? Does a chicken cry? Well, does a chicken commit suicide? Let's frame it. Because you're talking, you're trying.
A chicken has sex like any biological organism.
A chicken has an assigned gender, but a chicken doesn't have a gender identity.
So we assign female to chickens when they lay eggs?
We assume they're female if they lay eggs.
Does a chicken cry? She sounds like Howie when Howie was doing the interviews with the guy from PETA about the blueberries.
Chickens.
Do the blueberries cry when you eat them? And Matt Walsh also was talking to another professor. And again, the expert, the tolerant liberal, got very triggered by simple questions. This is Cut 25.
Well, I'm not even talking about social context. I'm just trying to start by getting to the truth, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really uncomfortable with that language of, like, getting to the truth. Again, in social life.
Why is that uncomfortable?
Because it sounds actually deeply transphobic to me. And if you keep probing, we're going to stop the interview.
If I probe about what the truth is?
You keep invoking the word truth, which is condescending and rude. I'm saying to you,
how is the word truth condescending and rude?
Why don't you tell me what your truth is, and you're walking on 30 seconds more of thin ice before I get up.
Wow. Someone is very, very offended.
Can we quote you on that, Professor?
You know what this calls for, Jared? We're going to need some safe spaces, stat, because the truth is no longer welcome.
In my safe space.
My safe space.
I just don't understand why everyone gets so upset. Like, are we not allowed to ask questions anymore? That's my thing. Howie Carr is coming up next. He has a lot to talk to you about, including, I'm sure, he's going to be spending at least an hour on the Jubilee. Because if there's one thing I know about Howie Carr, he is a fanatic about these Royals. He's been watching the Jubilee all day long with glee. Watching the Jubilee. We'll be back tomorrow. We've got a great Friday show planned. Thank you all for tuning in today. Howie Carr coming up next. He's got a great show planned. We'll be back for Friday. Over and out.